Guys and ladies, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Being an Analyst podcast. My name is Isama Matietsi. If this is your first time here, let me try to reintroduce myself again. I have about 20 years of banking experience. I worked in one of the two of the biggest South African banks, and I did a lot of analysis work from finance to operations, strategy analysis, and my day-to-day had to do with making reports or making memos or slides or anything else that has to go to Menco, has to go to Opcom, has to go to some of the exco sessions. We've tried all of those things, and some of the time we even did it with BI things, whether it's Power BI. We doubled a little bit on MicroStrategy and on Tableau. So my purpose while I was in banking was to share the knowledge to everybody else on how they can become analysts. And that is the reason for this particular podcast. Being an analyst, and especially this podcast, is aiming at people that want to switch their career to analysis, or people that want to know how to get started in a career in analysis. This is why we try to do everything else to inspire you. Especially in this episode number 35, where we are looking at the established frameworks that we can use, established frameworks and methodologies that we can use in order for us to pick our business informatics process. It's a little bit quite detailed, it's going to be heavy, but I know that you will be able to grasp this information and be able to implement it immediately the following day at your workplace. We're starting with all this conversation just after our theme song, so stay tuned. Just before we get started, can I just ask you another favor? Can you just go in to the comment section and rate this podcast? In this way, it helps us help other people out there discover this information. It also helps us to know what are we doing better and what could we improve on. And all of this is based on your feedback. If you haven't started following, please consider following, because we are coming through twice every week, every Tuesday and every Friday. We are able to publish an episode in South African Standard Time so that you can be able to listen to it at your own leisure. So let's jump straight into our conversation today. Unfortunately, because there's a lot of stuff that we have to cover, I didn't prepare a quiz for you. If you are looking forward to a quiz, I'm sorry, we'll have a quiz on the next episode. So let's look at the ways the established frameworks and methodologies, especially for development of relevant solutions in business informatics. There's various models that we can be using to do all of this. I'm just going to be looking at seven, because I think when we have a longer list, it just deceives the purpose. We just look at the seven. Ideally, I would want three, but then I thought to myself, I'm not looking at which one is the best. I'm actually trying to share information with you. So seven looks more or less, okay. And from here, the question now becomes, which of this are you probably using or you're probably being exposed to in your work environment? If there's one or two, very well, that's going to be good. If there's none, we can probably talk about how can you actually get more exposure to these frameworks. Let's look at the first one. The first one is called CRISP-DM. CRISP-DM stands for Cross-Industry Standard Process for Data Mining. Cross-Industry Standard Process for data mining. It is a widely adopted framework for data mining and analytics projects. So you has started, I would say I got exposed to it recently, but it started a long time ago. It consists of six phases, which it starts with business understanding, data preparation, modeling of the data, evaluation, and the last one is deployment. So you follow, when you follow this framework, you start with saying, what is the business understanding? It reminds me of what we just shared now with the steps that you followed to solve a problem. What is the business understanding? This is where you meet up with your stakeholders. What is the data understanding? What do we know about the data that we have and how we're going to collect it? Data preparation, you know, that's where you start to take out duplicates, make it look all pretty and nice. We don't have to go to that detail. Data modeling, this is where you put it together. Evaluation, this is model evaluation. This is where you say, how efficient is my model? How much of the variables within the model can be predicted by the model? If you want more on that, we can evaluate on that. And the last one is deployment. Deployment is where you now commercializing it and you're sending it out. This framework provides a structured approach to guide the entire data analysis process from understanding business objective, deploying to deploying solutions. Well, that's the CRISP DM for especially looking at data mining. Second one is Agile. We've heard a lot about Agile. If you haven't heard about it, the Agile methodologies such as Scrum and Kanban are actually the most popular one within software development, but can also be applied to analytics projects. I know we were doing this Kanban and Scrum when we were just doing sales operations, where I was a analyst in there, sales operations analyst manager. So I was responsible for the reporting, but to get to the reporting, we needed to every now and then huddle together. How far are we with this activity also? Agile emphasizes iterative development, collaboration, and flexibility. Analyst teams can break down their projects into smaller manageable tasks called sprints, prioritize them based on business value, and deliver incremental results. Like we said, we would have activities running through the board and we would move them accordingly. The only thing with Scrum is that it goes forward. With Edge or with Kanban, stuff can go from almost being complete to go all the way to the first stage. So when you choose which methodology you're gonna be picking, also think about the flexibility based on what you are looking for as the team. The third one that we're looking at is Lean Six Sigma. Yes, the training of Lean Six Sigma has been going around. A lot of business analysts have been going around for Lean Six Sigma. It combines the principles of Lean Manufacturing and Six Sigma to improve process efficiency and quality. So this one, I had education on it. We haven't applied it because our environment of analysis was not designed in this case, but it doesn't stop you from using it because it emphasizes data-driven decision-making and continuous improvement, meaning that our analyst teams can use tools and techniques such as, DMAIC, which is define, measure, analyze, improve, and control to identify and eliminate defects and inefficiencies in business processes. So that define, measure, analyze, improve, and control, it's also a powerful technique or framework that we can use also to do your Lean Six Sigma. On our side, like we said, we're not looking for inefficient processes. We're just looking for activities being delivered. So we didn't do Lean at work, but I know a lot of business analysts actually are doing Lean themselves. The fourth one is called TOGAF. It stands for the Open Group Architecture Framework. TOGAF is a framework for enterprise architecture that provides a comprehensive approach to designing, planning, implementing, and managing enterprise IT architecture. Analyst teams can use TOGAF to align their analytics initiatives with the overall enterprise architecture and ensure they support business goals and objectives. If you are an enterprise architect, you will probably be using this. So what we are saying here is, as an analyst team, you could work hand in hand with the enterprise architect, because remember in the previous episodes, we've spoken about the role of an enterprise architect or data architect. So once they have designed the data infrastructure themselves, as analyst teams, we can actually be working hand in hand so that they can tell us where to source the data, how the data should be stored, and how often it should be refreshed. And that's where we're looking into it. Number five, we're looking at ITIL. ITIL is Information Technology Infrastructure Library. It is a framework for IT service management that focuses on aligning IT services with the needs of the business. So in this case, because we are aligning IT services with the needs of the business, so our analyst teams can use ITIL principles and process to ensure that the effective delivery and support of analytical solutions, from requirements gathering to deployment, or however you want to say it, beginning to the end, and also to ongoing maintenance, we can be able to sit and think about how can we implement ITIL. Number six is design thinking, which is a wonderful one that a lot of us has been talking about. Design thinking. Design thinking is a human-centered approach to innovation that focuses on understanding user needs, generating creative ideas, and prototyping solutions. Our teams, our analyst teams, can also incorporate design thinking principles into our process to empathize with end users, brainstorm innovative solution, and iteratively refine whatever the solution based on the feedback that we are getting from the users. So you'll remember in design thinking, you don't start by designing stuff first. You start going to gather what is the frustration of the user, and then how can you design along what the user is frustrated about. In our newsletter, if you haven't subscribed, please consider subscribing. It's newsletter.beinganalyst.co.za. newsletter.beinganalyst.co.za. We share a lot of frameworks and mental models and a lot of tips that we can follow to make sure that you are able to go and implement everything else with the team, with your clients, so that when you do implementation, it just doesn't come up like this is just coming from the analyst. They just created their own report that, you know, makes sense to them, but it comes to say they were considered, the whole report was designed for them. So why do we need all of these frameworks? Question that you might be asking. By leveraging these frameworks and methodologies, our teams can establish a structured and systematic approach to developing relevant solutions in business informatics. That is it. If you are a small business owner, you can also be able to go through this, pick whichever one that you want your business to be working on, because when you have the framework, it becomes easy for you to already, when your business starts scaling, you don't have to redesign everything. Everything is already put in place quite nicely. Each framework offers its unique principles, as we have seen. It offers its unique tools and techniques and can be tailored to a specific needs and objective that is fit for your organization. In this case, I can even go further to say that is fit for your team. If your team needs something else, you might say, oh, it looks like our cross-industry standard process for data mining might be okay. Like in our case, we're just an analyst team that wants to send out reports to all the regional managers. At one point, I wanted to send out all the reports to all the financial managers. Agile was working much better for us because we can always go back to say, what's still sitting here on the Kanban board? And we were doing that with Microsoft Teams. We can say, hey, what's still sitting on our board? Can it move? And when it moves, we know that our month-end process is complete. But next month, guess what? That activity comes back to number one. We redo it again, and then next month it comes back to number one. We redo it, come back to number one. And then you can pick whichever one that makes sense to you. And then you can see at any given day the progress that you are doing, whether you're doing Six Sigma, you're doing ITIL, or you're doing design thinking. So now the question becomes to say, we can hear the methodology, we can hear the tools that we can use, but what can we do when it comes to the development of the relevant solution in business informatics? We spoke about the methodologies that could be used, but in order for us, let's say for instance, we pick ITIL, for instance, how do we build the solution in our organization? What steps do we start to say, oh, here we are, we have company,
company is a week old. We just started opening doors. It still smells like paint. What do we do? Step one, tell us, what do we do? We can pick whatever framework. We have the framework. There it is. Bam, computer is on. Framework is in. Where do we start? So developing the relevant solution in business informatics involve what somehow we can call it a systematic process of blends analytical thinking. That blends analytical thinking with technological expertise. So depending on the team that you have, your intellectual property, because I mean, as the team you come together, you will create a unique combination of technology that you know about and your analytical thinking, or the mental models, or the models that we normally write about in our newsletter. You combine those two, where a simplified breakdown of how an analyst teams might approach this, it's as follows. Let's just give you a simplified breakdown. But it doesn't stop you. It doesn't mean that this is the only breakdown that you must follow. You can follow whichever breakdown that you and your team are coming up with, because it's based on your analytical thinking, your way of thinking, plus the technology that you're exposed to. I don't want to be selling technology here and you're not exposed to that. And I don't want to be selling mental models that you don't know. But we're just going to do a simple process. Also, 7 steps. Why? It's easy to remember 7 things. 10, it feels like it's too much. 5, it feels like you were cheated. 3, it's very small. 3 is like dessert. It's not proper stuff. So what I'll do, first thing, as followed by some of those models that we've spoken about, especially the cross-industry standard process for data mining, the first step has to do with understanding the business objective, understanding the team's objectives that's coming to you, understanding what is needed in that area. The first step is to thoroughly understand the specific needs and challenges of the business. And that involves gathering requirements from stakeholders, conducting interviews, analyzing existing processes. And this is where we have beautiful stuff that are written about stakeholder management, which one is responsible, which one is accountable, which one should you consult and inform. All of those you need to be starting with on the first one, to say, what is the business needs? What are we supposed to be doing as the analyst team to fulfill their needs? If their needs is a financial statement delivered every month, you need to be thinking about how can we deliver a financial statement every month. Another team might even pull it further to say, we need the financial statement delivered at the second working day of the month. Now it's a different requirement, because now it has to do with speed. Second one has to do with data collection and analysis. It is important that we sit down and we do data collection, and we sit down and we think about the analysis process. Our analyst teams could sit and gather relevant information from various sources, including databases, spreadsheets, and software systems. We can clean and process this data to ensure that it is accurate and reliable. Analytical tools such as SQL, Excel, even SQL scripts are often used to query databases and extract meaningful insights. When I first started studying, we used to do Microsoft Access, but I haven't used Access since before, I think 2007, 2009, 2008, 2009. I don't think anybody's using Access anymore. Everybody's now already using large data sets, because we are generating more data than we used to in the early 2000s. Hence why we don't use those anymore. Second step is identifying patterns and trends. Once the data is prepared, we can start to use our statistical techniques and data visualization tools to identify patterns, trends, correlations. Sometimes it can be as easy as just running and creating a visual on Excel, and you can just pick up the trend there. And then already you have a high level question to say, oh, since we have something here, what do we do about it? This helps us to gain deeper insights into the business operations and understanding areas of improvement as we go into it. We can already say, oh, it looks like there's a dip here on this particular month, and it looks like it's a dip on every year In June, we have a dip. What's happening in June? Only to find out that we don't put on the heaters, so people are not coming to work and we're not productive. It might be something like that. That's just looking at identifying patterns and trends, which was number three. Number four, we're looking at developing solutions based on our analysis on step one, two, and three. We as an analyst team can actually sit down and work on developing solutions to address the identified challenges or capitalize on opportunities. This may involve developing new software application, optimizing existing processes, or implementing data-driven strategies. Sometimes just, suggesting a different process, because most of our clients, some of them already know what type of data they want, especially the people that are in sales. They already know what data they want. All you have to do is just give it to them nicely. Before you know it, you give them into a report. Before you know it, you made it into a dashboard. Before you know it, now they rely on your dashboard on a daily basis. Very, very difficult to get a seasoned salesperson to just change their way. But once, if you understand and developing nice solutions, you take it one step at a time until you get it right. Okay, that's number four, developing solution. Number five, we're looking at testing and validation. Before implementing solution in a live environment, it's essential that we test them rigorously to ensure they work as intended and meet the business requirements. This is why in the software development lifecycle process has got the testing in it. You have to sit down, test, because half the time you don't want to be sending something out to the people only to come back and realize that there was an error in a code. It doesn't add up all the commission properly, because anything else that's weakened, it excludes it. We had a walkaway at one point, the walkaway calculation, where we were saying people are coming in, they apply for a loan, and then the application just stop. And we used to call those walkaways and say, can we track the walkaways? Can we send them to the people? And can we, tell the consultant, yeah, you have so many walkaways, 100 walkaways, and it's already on day number 10. Can you follow up on these people? You can make your numbers. Only to realize that, you know what, some of the things were not working correctly, calculations were out. So it's important that we do that before you go into the live environment. Make sure that we are able to test it properly in this way. This often requires careful planning and coordination to ensure a smooth transition and integration with existing systems and processes. The last step is monitoring and iterations. Monitoring and iterations, the work of us as an analyst team doesn't only stop when we hand over our report or our solution or our dashboard. We're like, there it is, we are done, our hands are clean. It doesn't stop there. We continually monitor and perform the performance of the solution and gather feedback from the users to identify areas of improvement. This process, I know it could be daunting, especially for us. We only want to hear about it during performance review, but it's not supposed to be like that. The iteration process will help redefine the solution and make it into something else that we never thought about over time. And it will ensure that we remain relevant and effective, not just us as a team, but also the solution that we have put in place remain there for a longer time. So throughout this whole process, effective communication and collaboration among the team members and stakeholders is very, very crucial. I know you have picked that up. We as analysts need to be able to translate technical insights into actionable recommendation to resonate with business objective. Alternatively, we should stay up to date with the latest development in business informatics and technology to ensure that our solutions are innovative and effective. So that's just the seven tool frameworks, methodologies, also as the seven steps that you can do to make sure that you are implementing your business informatics process properly. You start with understanding a business need, you collect the data, you do some bit of analysis, you identify the patterns as you do your analysis, a small graph there. You develop solutions, you test and you validate, you implement, you monitor, and you do iterations. I don't know what methodology you're going to be following, but if I was in your team and I was in charge of the team, I would say, take a big board, whiteboard, break it down into the 7 columns that we just spoke about, right? Identifying business needs, and then put all your projects, just in sticky tapes that you're still identifying the project needs in there. Another column, collect data analysis and analysis. Heading, put all the projects that you are doing, sticky tapes. You don't, even if it's not just the project name, just the activities that you are putting in there, you'll decide what you want to put on sticky tapes. Another column, identifying patterns and trends. Put the ones that who's identifying the patterns and trends. Who do you need to be unlocked? You can decide on the color of the sticky tape. Red could be, it's all good. Yellow, it's a little bit behind. Red, we need manager's attention. You can, as a team, we can decide on the color coding, but you can put it there. Fourth one, developing solutions, you put in there so that you can monitor how far are we with the solution, how far are we. Fifth one, testing before being deployed, you put it in there. The sixth one is where all your projects should be sitting on, which is under implementation and integration. And the ones after they've been implemented and integrated, depending on how often do we want to get the feedback, you put them under number 7 so that you can say this project has been implemented 3 months ago. We are happy now to go and look for user feedback. User feedback can actually take it all the way back for us to, you know, we don't have to start at number 1. We might just go into number 3 where we start gathering the data. So that's more or less the board that I would suggest that we put it in. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with others. We are doing all that we could to make sure that what we are doing here, it's useful and inspires you to becoming an expert analyst. How can you get a hold of us? We have the podcast. We have the, the podcast is this one. We have the newsletter. We have the blog. We have a book that is out, the one that's shown on the site if you are watching the video version. If you watch, you're listening to the audio version, just go into Amazon and then type Being an Analyst. There's a book there that I penned with my name, December Matsietsi. Make sure that you get yourself a copy, because in that, I actually explain the whole process of how could you start being an analyst? How do you manage yourself for success, and how do you unleash your potential, especially now in the knowledge economy? I hope you enjoyed this. Let's meet again in episode number 36. Stay blessed.